We will start discussing the fourth chapter of sixth canto today. But before we start, if there is any quick comments, discussions, questions based on the episode of Ajamil that we had just completed yesterday, maybe for a few minutes we can take. If there is nothing, then we can start. So I will wait for a few seconds to see if there are any comments, questions, discussions based on the section on Ajamil. Okay. So we will start today, chapter 4, which is titled The Hamsa Guhya Prayers Offered to the Lord by Daksha Prajapati. So first, Parikshit Maharaj is going to ask some questions to Shukadeva Goswami. Now that the episode is over, one episode of Ajamil is over. This Ajamil's episode was in response to which question of Parikshit Maharaj?
How the living entity should be relieved from hellish conditions?
At the end of fifth canto, in the 26th chapter, when the description of the hellish planets was given, Parikshit Maharaj became very concerned about people suffering in this way in hell. So he wanted to know how can they escape such hellish conditions. In response to that, Parikshit Sukadeva Goswami's answer is, accept the process of bhakti, which is, and the prime limb of bhakti is chanting the holy name. Namo charana mahatyam harehe pashyata putraka. Like that. That is the essence that Shukadeva Goswami gives an answer to Parikshit Maharaj's questions. Question. So now Parikshit Maharaj has some other question. Let's see what he wants to know. Shri Raja Uvacha Deva Suranam Sargo Naga Nam Mruga Pakshinam सामासिकस्त्वया प्रोक्तो यस्तु स्वायंभुवेन्तरे तस्यैव व्यासमिच्छामि ज्ञातुं ते भगवन् यता अनुसर्गं यया शक्या ससर्ज भगवान् परः. इवन दो थर्ड कैंटो इज सर्ग प्राइमरीली, फोर्थ कैंटो इज विसर्ग प्राइमरीली, बट स्टिल what started in the third canto as wanting to know about the genealogy of Swayambhu Manu, Parikshit Maharaj, even though had taken some detours in between to ask about other things, is rightly coming back and rejoining the main course of discussion, which is still discussing the genealogy of Swayambhu Manu. So in that context, he is asking, my dear Lord, he is addressing Shukadeva Goswami. Vyasam gyatum ichchami. So he says, Samasika Vyasa. Samasika is in brief, Vyasa is in detail. So he says that, Vyasam gyatum ichchami. I wish to know in detail, Deva Asurandranam, about the devatas, demons, human beings, the Nagas, beasts and birds, Sargaha Swayambhu Antare, who were created during the reign of Swayambhu Manu. How did the Prajapatis and the Manus create further living entities? Yahatu Twaya Prokto Samasikaha, which you did mention, but it was very brief in the third canto, but I would like to know it in detail. Can you please speak? Then he says, Shaktya, I also wish to know about the Shakti, Shaktya Yaya Bhagavan Prajasasarja Anusargam. And I also would like to briefly know about the Shakti by which Brahmaji produces the secondary creation. So how does he produce? Where does he get his power from? So I would like to know about it. So this is the question of Parikshit Maharaj. Please speak more about the various kinds of species created by Brahma and the other Prajapatis subsequently. So here, Shri Vishnu Jagadakur says, Poshanam or protection concerning Indra who killed his guru will be explained now. So సో పోషణం మీన్స్ పోషణం తదనుగ్రహ. పోషణం ఈస్ ది స్పెషల్ మర్సీ దట్ కృష్ణ బెస్టోస్ అపాన్ హిస్ డివోటీస్. సో దట్ ఈస్ సిక్స్త్ క్యాంటో ప్రైమరీలీ. సో టు వాట్ ఎక్స్టెంట్, సో ఈవన్ దో ఎ క్వశ్చన్ హాస్ బీన్ ఆస్క్డ్ అబౌట్ విసర్గ, స్టిల్ ఇన్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయినింగ్ విసర్గ ద మెయిన్ థీమ్ ఆఫ్ ద క్యాంటో విచ్ ఇస్ పోషణం విల్ బి మెయింటైన్డ్ బై సుఖదేవ్ గోస్వామి. వి విల్ సీ దట్. సో ఈవన్ దో పరీక్షిత్ మహారాజ్ ఆస్క్డ్ అబౌట్ యునో ప్రొటెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ఆఫ్ హెలిష్ ఫ్రమ్ హెలిష్ సఫరింగ్, సో అగైన్ ద థీమ్ ఆఫ్ పోషణం కేమ్ అబౌట్ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్లీ ఇన్ ది ఎపిసోడ్ ఆఫ్ అజామిల్. టు వాట్ ఎక్స్టెంట్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ కెన్ గో టు ఐడెంటిఫై సమ్వన్ యాజ్ డివోటీ అండ్ ప్రొటెక్ట్ హిమ్. సో దట్ వాస్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ త్రూ ది ఎపిసోడ్ ఆఫ్ అజామిల్. నౌ ఈవన్ దో వన్ మే బి ఎ మిక్స్డ్ డివోటీ, బట్ నెవర్ ద లెస్ ఇఫ్ యూ హ్యావ్ టేకన్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ మీ, even though it may be in a mixed mode, but still protection is guaranteed. That we will see through the episodes of Indra also, and we will also see that even though one has taken the body of a demon like in the case of Vritrasur, still protection is guaranteed. So like that through various episodes now, the main theme of Poshanam will be manifest very clearly. But nevertheless, even though now Parikshit Maharaj is actually asking about Visarga only, but in Visarga the mood of Poshanam will be maintained. Actually you will see that, just like we say that even though there could be a Narsingadev deity in Mayapur, that Narsingadev deity takes the mood of the main deity, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like that. So similarly, even though a question is asked about Visarga here by Parikshit Maharaj, still the mood of the canto, which is Poshanam, without compromising that mood of Poshanam, Visarga is going to be described. So in that sense only now Daksha Prajapati's episode is going to start now. The Guru Vishwaroop was born from the sun Twashta of Daksha's daughter Aditi. The birth of Daksha was described briefly at the end of 4th canto, how Daksha was born, again reborn. Of course, Daksha was killed 4th canto, and again he was reborn towards the end of 4th canto. Now in 6th canto, Daksha will be described in 3 chapters. Parikshit asks about the creation after hearing about the descendants of Swayambhu Manu's daughters. So because in the 3rd canto, starting with Devahuti, then subsequently Akuti, Prasuti, their descendants were discussed. So continuing with that, he's asking, the present chapter describes how Daksha, born from the Prachitas, recited the Hamsaguhya prayers in praise of the Lord in order to create progeny. It was briefly mentioned that Daksha took birth from the Prachetas. So how exactly it happened and how further progenition happened, that's what here now Shivadeva Goswami is going to explain. Okay. So if there are any quick comments, questions, we can take. If not, Hari Bhakti Prabhu can read Srila Prabhupada's purport.
Roji, no purport.
No purport. Okay. So we will move ahead. He has asked about secondary creation. Now in the next theme, we will see events that led to birth of Daksha, who eventually created the other species. So Shri Suta Uvacha Iti Samprashna Makarnya Rajarsher Badarayanihi ప్రతినంద్య మహాయోగి జగాద మునిసత్తమాహ. ఓ మునిసత్తమాహ, దిస్ ఇస్ అగైన్ నౌ సుత గోస్వామి నరేటింగ్ దిస్ టు శౌనకాది రిషీస్. హీ సేస్, ఓ గ్రేట్ సేజెస్, మహాయోగి బాదరాయణి ద గ్రేట్ సేజ్ శుకదేవ్ గోస్వామి ఇది రాజర్షే సంప్రశ్నమాకర్ణ్య ఆఫ్టర్ హియరింగ్ దిస్ క్వశ్చన్ పుట్ ఫోర్త్ బై పరీక్షిత్ మహారాజ్, Pratinandya, he praised it, Jagada, and spoke. So apparently, I mean, if you see throughout Bhagavatam, no question, you know, that is why, you know, such conversations have gotten into the book of Bhagavatam. Literally, every question that has been asked has been appreciated, which means it must have been a very relevant question. Otherwise, Shukadeva Goswami had no point staying in one place. Sa godohana matram hi griheshu grihamedinam avekshate mahabhagas tirti kurvam sadashramam. He would not even stay in a place for longer than it would take to milk a cow. So, and that too, he would stay there to actually purify that household by sharing some Krishna Gatha. So, such a Shukadeva Goswami, you know, he stayed with Parikshit Maharaj for 7 days and narrated. And practically, Parikshit Maharaj was also such an equally exalted personality that he asked relevant questions, because every time he asks a question, Sutta Goswami clarifies that, because Sutta Goswami was there in that assembly. So he says that actually Shukadeva Goswami was very happy hearing these questions. Of course, we might wonder, we have reached sixth canto now. Why is Parikshit Maharaj still asking about creation of devas, yakshas, nagas? You know, what does it have to do with his achieving the lotus feet of Krishna? But Shukadeva Goswami exactly understood that this was a very relevant question like that. So therefore, we cannot try to evaluate these kind of Shastric characters through our common sense. Actually, even through our devotional common sense, we cannot evaluate. That is why we are hopelessly dependent on the explanations of the acharyas to see. You know, here we are dependent on Sutta Goswami. Sutta Goswami says, Pratinandya, he praised it. Shukadeva Goswami praised, Parikshit Maharaj, that, oh, it was a very good question. So therefore, it may not fit our mundane common sense that, you know, why at this stage of his life he is asking such irrelevant questions. So for us, we see it as irrelevant according to our level of devotional development. At least we should learn to give benefit of doubt to those devotees who are clearly more elevated, you know, like in the case of at least the Shastric characters like Parikshit Maharaj. No, is clearly more elevated, established, pure devotee. So therefore, you know, he is asking such a question, it cannot be irrelevant. And that is clarified here by Sutta Goswami, who says that actually Shukadeva Goswami was very happy hearing this question. Okay, no commentary. Is there any purport or any other quick comments, questions?
No purport.
Okay.
Probably
a
question.
Yeah, Muktakesh Prabhu.
I was also thinking this, that why he is asking this question. But I'm just asking, so can we say that remembering that Maya Varnito Amushya Ishwarasya, that's why he's asking her?
Could be quite possible. Or probably it is not explained, so we can also only guess. Maybe it could be that reason, Mayam Varnayato Amushya Ishwarasya Anumodata, it could be the reason. Or it could be that he knew that this is the logical continuation, and he had full faith in Shukadeva Goswami that even in narrating these topics, he would narrate it in such a way that Yadi Krishna Katodayam. That he would invoke the presence of Krishna even in describing these topics. So probably it could be that could be the reason, or it could be a mixture of reasons. But it is not very clearly mentioned. One thing that is mentioned is
question was very good. It was praised. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Haribol.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, in between one more call came, so that's why I think briefly it got yeah. Anything else? Is that okay, Muktikesh Prabhu?
Yes, for me.
So no purport. We will move ahead. Shri Shuka Uvacha Yada Pracheta Saputra Dasha Prachina Barhishaha Antas Samudradun Magna Tadarshur Gam Drumair Vritam. Shukadeva Goswami said, Yada Prachina Barhishaha Dasha Putra Prachetasaha. In the 10 sons of Prachina Barhi, the Prachetas, Antas Samudradun Magna, when they emerged from Samudra, literally means ocean, but actually here it was a lake, and because the lake was so big, it looked like an ocean. It is mentioned in the fourth canto, if you remember. So they emerged from the waters. Tadarshuhu, when they came out, they saw gam drumairvritam, that the whole earth was covered with druma, trees. So Srila Krishna Jagadakur says, in order to explain how creation was carried out by Daksha, first the way in which Daksha took birth again after he gave up the body with a goat's head that he received as an insult. So first, it is mentioned that as soon as Veerabhadra chops off the head of Daksha, it is mentioned that Daksha eventually got a goat's head, but he left that body and took new birth. The sons of Prachinabarhi saw that the earth was covered with trees. When King Prachinabarhi had become detached and had gone to the forest, the earth was covered with trees because of lack of agriculture caused by the absence of a king. So Prachinabarhi on one side, he was preached by Narada Muni, he left. Here Prachetas were performing their tapasya inside the water. So briefly, for quite some time, there was no king. So because there was no king, no proper agriculture took place. So, you know, it became forest land like that. Okay, any purport?
Yes, when King Prachinibari was performing Vedic rituals in which the killing of animals was recommended, Narad Muni, out of compassion, advised him to stop. Prachinabari understood Narada properly and then left the kingdom to perform austerities in the forest. His 10 sons, however, were performing austerities within the water, and therefore there was no king to see the management of the world. When the 10 sons, the Prachetas, came out of the water, they saw that the earth was overrun with trees. When the government neglects agriculture, which is necessary for the production of food, the land becomes covered with unnecessary trees. Of course, many trees are useful because they produce fruits and flowers, but many other trees are unnecessary. They could be used as fuel and the land cleared and used for agriculture. When the government is negligent, less grain is produced. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Krishi Goraksha Vanijyam Vaishya Karma Sabhavajam, the proper engagements for Vaishyas according to their nature are to farm and to protect cows. Duty of the government and the Kshatriyas is to see that the members of the third class, the Vaishyas, who are neither Brahmanas nor Kshatriyas, are thus properly engaged. Kshatriyas are meant to protect human beings, whereas Vaishyas are meant to protect useful animals, especially cows.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Any quick comments?
Probably this pastime happened before Priyavrat Maharaj, no?
Did this pastime happen before Priyavrat Maharaj?
Yes.
So, Hamsa Goyi, like parallel, this must be Priyavrat Maharaj.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
Hmm.
Yeah. Subsequently, only Priyavrat Maharaj's approach to take over, actually.
After Prachetas, no one is there. Na? After.
Yeah, correct. Okay. Drumebhya Krudyamanaste tapo dipita manyavah mukkato vayum agnimcha sasrajustadhidakshaya. Because of having undergone long austerities, the Prachetas were filled with anger. Te tapo dipita manyavah. So this is clearly mentioned. So then apparently the austerities they underwent were not exactly pure devotional like austerities. And this is also eventually mentioned, I think it's mentioned in the fourth canto only, that even though they were instructed by Lord Shiva, but still they were like sort of, they had mixed intentions. They were not exactly pure devotees. They had mixed qualifications. They were like borderline Karma Mishra Bhaktas only. So this maybe has something to do, because here it is clearly mentioned, Tapodipita Manyavaha. So their tapasya had created that kind of anger in them. Let's see if there is any further explanation for this. Because ultimately, devotional austerities would not eventually lead to, because anger and is a symptom of hardening of heart, and which is natural. And austerities, you know, vairagya and jnana, when independently cultivated, they have the capacity of hardening the heart. But we need to see what is the explanation that is given here. Let's see if some explanation is there. Drumebhyah krudyamanaha, angry at the trees, because when they saw the trees, they became very angry. Tad didakshaya, desiring to burn the trees to ashes. Mukato vayum agnimcha sarjuhu. They generated wind and fire from their mouths. See, it could. Okay, let's. Why continue guessing? We will see if there is some explanation. If it is not given, then we will try to discuss. We will see. Oh, there is no purport. No explanation. Is there any purport by Prabhupada?
Here the word tapodipita manyavah indicates that persons who have undergone severe austerity, tapasya, are endowed with great mystic power, as evinced by the prachetas, who created fire and wind from their mouths. Although devotees undergo severe tapasya, however, they are vimanyavah, sadavah, which means they are never angry.
See, same point Prabhupada is making here.
They are always decorated with good qualities. Bhagavadam 3.25.21 states, Trikshava Karunika Surda Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhu Bhushana. A sadhu, a devotee, is never angry. Actually, the real feature of devotees who undergo tapasya, austerity, is forgiveness. Although a Vaishnava
can
has...
Can you repeat that statement again?
Actually, the real feature of devotees who undergo tapasya, austerity, is forgiveness. Although a Vaishnava has sufficient power in tapasya, he does not become angry when put into difficulty. If one undergoes tapasya but does not become a Vaishnava, however, one does not develop good qualities. For example, Hiranyakashipu and Ravan also performed great austerities, but they did so to demonstrate their demoniac tendencies. Vaishnavas must meet many opponents while preaching the glories of the Lord, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that they do not become angry while preaching. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this formula: Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amaninama anadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly.
Yeah.
Those engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord should be humbler than grass and more tolerant than tree. Then they can preach the glories of the Lord without difficulty.
Yeah. Interesting. Prabhupada is quoting Trinadapi Sunichena, where he talks about being more tolerant than a tree, but actually the prachetas were intolerant of the trees, actually. They could not tolerate the trees. So they started, you know, they became angry on the trees. So Prabhupada clearly says that if one is properly practicing, you know, the austerities which are recommended in the Bhakti Shastras, then it will never lead to anger and other such, you know, hardening of heart. That's what Prabhupada is also indicating in the purport. Okay. Ah, yes, bro.
Guruji, Dhruva Maharaj also did tapasya, but we see him becoming angry when Uttam was in that case.
Yeah, so in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, of course, you know, we also see that in certain cases where, see, we are connecting Dhruva Maharaj becoming angry to the tapasya that he performed many, many years back. It is not like that. He performed that, he became angry at Uttama. It could have been an orchestration by the Supreme Lord, because a perfect devotee definitely does not become angry created by Rajogun. So you cannot explain that, you know, Dhruva Maharaj became angry due to his inability to express his Rajogun properly. That would be an improper understanding, because already it has been indicated very clearly that that Dhruva Maharaj was a perfected devotee. He had gotten darshan of Supreme Lord and he had received Krishna Prema. So for one possessing Krishna Prema, it is not possible for him to be succumbing to the pushings of the lower mode. So many times the Supreme Lord utilizes such devotees to indicate that, you know, to teach such some valuable lessons. Like in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, when Swayambhu Manu came and told him stop, he immediately listened to the injunction of his superior. So similarly, in the case of Priyavrat Maharaj also, if you see, the same question is raised by Parikshit Maharaj. How is it that Priyavrat Maharaj, perfect devotee, Atma Rama, how did, because at the end of fourth canto, it is mentioned that he was enjoying household life with his wife and family members like that. He says, how is it that an Atma Rama, completely self-satisfied person who is merged in meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna, how can he become absorbed in enjoying family life? Like that, a question is asked. And it is explained that sometimes obstacles are created in the life of perfected devotees personally by Krishna in order to teach others particular lessons. And in that purport, Srila Vishnachaka Thakur gives the example of Bharat Maharaj and Priyavrat Maharaj, where personally obstacles were created by Krishna to teach valuable lessons to others. And there he indicates that Bharat Maharaj was made to get attracted to a deer just so that other devotees can be warned as to how dangerous is attraction to material things. That is one thing he says. And in the case of Priyavrat Maharaj, he says that he personally created this obstacle in the life of Priyavrat Maharaj so that it can be explained, it can be taught to common devotees that even though it may seemingly be unfavorable for one's bhakti, still a superior's orders need to be followed. Like that. So that example is given. So it could be, so definitely in the case of Dhruva Maharaj also, that should have been the case. His anger should not be seen as anger born out of frustrated Rajogun. It should definitely be seen as an orchestration by the Supreme Lord so that other people are taught some valuable lessons. Is that okay, Adi Gopal?
Yes.
Okay. Tabhyam nirdahya manam stan upalabhya kurudvah rajo. Rajo vacha mahan somo manyum prashamayan iva. O kurudvah, O best of the kurus, Parikshit Maharaj. Mahan raja somaha. When Soma, the king of the trees, तान उपलब्य व्हेन ही सॉ फायर एंड विंड ताभ्याम निर्दह्यमानानाम व्हेन ही सॉ दैट द फायर एंड द विंड वाज एक्चुअली बर्निंग बर्निंग ऑल द ट्रीज टू एशेस मन्युम प्रशमयन इव विद अ डिजायर टू अपीस देयर एंगर उवाच सोमा स्पोक इन दिस वे Why did Soma have to speak? Why did Soma have to get concerned? Because Soma is also said to be the presiding deity of the trees. That's why. Srila Vaishnava Thakur says, Soma was the presiding deity of the trees and the king of the trees. The word Eva is used because it was impossible to appease the Prachetas by kind words. That's therefore, Prashamayan Eva is used. Prashamayan Eva means as if trying to appease them, but it was practically impossible to appease the Prachetas. So it was not going to be successful. Therefore, eventually he gives the daughter of Pramlocha, Marisha, for them to get married and then slowly he pacifies them like that. Any purport?
I think no, yes. It is understood from this verse that the predominating deity of the moon is the maintainer of all the trees and plants throughout the universe. It is due to the moonshine that trees and plants grow very luxuriantly. Therefore, how can we accept the so-called scientist whose moon expeditions have informed us that there are no trees or vegetation on the moon? So the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Somo Vrikshadhishtata sa eva vrikshanam raja. Soma, the predominating deity of moon, is the king of all vegetation. How can we believe that the maintainer of vegetation has no vegetation on his own planet?
Yeah. Okay. Nadrumebhyo mahabhaga dinebhyo drogdu marhata Mahabhaga, O greatly fortunate ones, you who desire to increase the population, yuyam vivardayeshavaha, because they were like, they wanted to enhance the population, increase the population, that's why they were performing austerities. Prajanam patayas smritaha, and you are known as the protectors of the citizens. Na drogdu marhata, so therefore you should not burn. Dinebhyah drumebhyah, these helpless trees, what will they do? Why are you burning them? Is there any purport?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
It is indicated here in that the government or king has the duty of protecting not only the human beings, but all other living entities, including animals, trees, and plants. No living entity should be killed unnecessarily.
Okay, that's all?
Yes, please.
Okay. Aho Prajapati Patir Bhagavan Hari Ravyayah Vanaspati No Shadischa Sasarjorjam Isham Vibuhu. The powerful, indestructible Supreme Lord, the master of the progenitors, has created the trees and grass with fruits and grains. It is the Supreme Lord who has created all these things. Why do you want to burn a creation of the Supreme Lord? And it has utility, not that it has no utility. It has utility, so why should you burn them? Like that, Soma is speaking with them. So, Shri Vishnu Chakradakur says, Urjam refers to eatables other than grains, such as fruits from the trees. Isham refers to grains like wheat coming from the grasses, like that. Any purport?
Soma, the predominating deity of the moon, reminded the Prachetas that this vegetation had been created by the Lord of Lords to provide food for everyone. If the Prachetas tried to kill them off, their own subjects would also suffer. for trees are also required for food.
Okay.
Yes.
Annam charanam achara yapadapadacharinam ahasta hasta yuktanam vipadam cha chatushpadah. Charanam achara annam. Non-moving plants are food for the moving beings. Apadah padacharinam. Being without legs. Beings without legs are food for those with legs. Ahasta hasta yuktanam. Animals without hands are food for animals with hands. Vipadam chatushpadam. The animals with four legs and plants are food for human being. You know, same verse. Huh? What is the verse?
Ahastani sahastanam. Apadani.
Apadani. Chatushpadam.
Falguni. Tatr mahatam. Jivo jivasya
jivo jivasya jivanam. Like that. So basically, he is explaining them that they have utility. They are a part of, you know, what do you call this? Food cycle. They are a part of, they are a very integral part of the food cycle and the ecosystem. So why are you destroying them? So Srila Vishnu Chakradhakur writes, flowers and creepers are food for moving creatures like bees with wings. Grass and other plants without feet are food for animals such as cows and buffalo with feet. The animals with feet are food for those with grasping front legs such as tigers. It's like deer with four legs are food for human beings. Cha indicates that indicates also the non-moving living entities like grains. Like that. Any quick comments, questions, or purport?
Roji, this animals, somebody may say, like, scriptures here directly Bhagavatam tells about meat eating. Animals with four legs, like deers, are food for humans.
Yeah, if they cannot resist the tendency to eat meat, then they can eat those animals. So, Bhagavatam's recommendation, is it meat eating? I mean, of course, we have to see completely, you know, in the, you know, once Prabhupada has written like this, but he has clarified it so many times that humans are not meant for eating meat, humans are not meant for eating meat. But ultimately, you see, the Shastras are very adjusting. They understand that not everyone would be able to act according to the highest injunctions. So they give a hierarchy of instructions for different kinds of people. So therefore, if you see, even though ultimately Bhakti Yoga is only the recommendation of the Shastras actually understand that not everyone may necessarily acquire that qualification to practice Bhakti Yoga. So therefore, they recommend Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, and other such kinds of paths also. So similarly, even though ideally one should not eat meat, but the Shastras also understanding that not everyone may be able to follow it, they actually give some concession as to, okay, these are the animals which you can eat. Sometimes some verses talk on that platform. That's my understanding. Is that okay, Adi Gopal?
Yes, please.
Anyone else has something to add on about this point? Oh, okay. So can you read the purport?
Yes, by nature's law or the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one kind of living entity is eatable by other living entities. As mentioned herein, dvipadam cha chatushpadah, the four-legged animals, chatushpadah, as well as food grains are eatable for human beings. Dvipadam. These four-legged animals are those such as deer, goats, not cows, which are mean to be protected. Generally, the men of the higher class of society, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, do not eat meat. Sometimes Kshatriyas go to forest to kill animals like deer because they have to learn the art of killing. And sometimes they eat the animals also. Shudras too eat animals such as goats, cows, however, are never meant to be killed or eaten by human beings. In every Shastra, cow killing is vehemently condemned. Indeed, one who kills a cow must suffer for as many years as there are hairs on the body of a cow. Manusamita says, Pravrittir esh bhutanam nivrittis tu mahapala. We have many tendencies in this material world, but in human life, one is meant to learn how to curb those tendencies. Those who desire to eat meat may satisfy the demands of their tongues by eating lower animals. But they should never kill cows, who are actually accepted as the mothers of the human society because they supply milk. The Shastra especially recommends Shri Krishi Goraksha. The Vaishya section of a humanity should arrange for the food of the entire society through agriculture activities and should give full protection to the cows, which are the most useful animals because they supply milk to human society.
Yeah, so same point Prabhupada is indicating here very clearly. He clarifies here. Okay. Yuyam cha pitran vadishta deva devena chanagaha praja sargaya hikatam vrikshan nirdagdumarhata. O anagaha. So here Soma is addressing the Prachetas. O sinless Prachetas, Pitra, your father Prachina Barhi, Deva Devena cha, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Lord of all the Devatas, Yuyam Anvadishtata, they have ordered you Prajasargaya to create population. Katam arhata vrikshan nirdagdum. Ye jo trees ko, you know, who has given you the order to kill the trees? Therefore, how can you burn to ashes these trees? You know, you just do execute the order that has been given to you by the Supreme Lord and by your father, Prachina Barhi. Why are you killing the trees? Whose order are you following now? Like that Soma is asking. Okay, any purport?
No purport.
No purport. Atishtata satam margam kopam yachata deepitam pitra pitamahenapi dushtam vaprapitamahaihi. Atishtata satam margam. Follow the path jushtam, which has been traversed. Vaha pitra pitamahena api prapitamahehi. Follow the path that has been traversed by your father, grandfather, and great grandfathers. And deepitam kopam yachata. Control your intense anger. So, where else, let's say in Bhagavad Gita, where else does Krishna say that, follow the path traversed by your father, grandfather, and great grandfather? Where does he say this?
Yeah. Rujipra Pitamahi.
The word may not be there. The word may not be there, but the essence is there.
Is there no word?
Atishtata. Okay. Na atishta uttishta bharata. That he says, but that is different. But I am mainly focusing here about following your forefathers. Where does he say that?
Prabhupada is writing the meaning of Adhishtata to be just follow.
I am asking a more specific question where he says that follow the path traversed by your predecessors. So that point, where in Bhagavad Gita does Krishna make?
Achha, where in Bhagavad Gita?
That's what I'm telling. Where in Bhagavad Gita does Krishna make this point? He says many people have done it. Where does he say you follow? What is that? Satte karma pravakshami. Purvair purvataram kritam, he says. What is that verse? Purvair purvataram kritam. Third chapter it comes, na? In that same karmano hi api bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmanaha, akarmanascha bodhavyam kahana karmano kati. In that verse ends with purvair purvataram kritam. Which verse? Anyone can find them?
Purvair api mumukshubhi comes.
Purvair purvataram kritam.
Purvair purvataram
evam jnatva kritam
kritam karma. Evam jnatva kritam karma.
Purvair api mumukshubhi.
Kuru karma eva tasmatvam purvair purvataram kritam. Like that he says. There he says, you know, just this, what is this karma, what is akarma, vikarma, very difficult to understand. Therefore, just follow exactly what your exalted ancestors have followed, like that he says. Yeah. Anyway, follow the path traversed by your father, grandfather and great-grandfathers. Control your intense anger. Deepitam kopam yachata. So he says, follow the path of patience employed by your father and ancestors. Like that, he says. Any purport?
Yes, sir. Here the words, Pitra Pitamahe Napi Jushtam Vaha Prapitamahai depict as honest royal family consisting of the kings, their father, their grandfather and their great-grandfathers. Such a royal family has a prestigious position because it maintains the citizens or prajas. The word praja refers to one who has taken birth within the jurisdiction of the government. The exalted royal families were conscious that all living beings, whether human, animal or lower than animal, should be given protection. The modern democratic system cannot be exalted in this way because leaders elected strive only for power and have no sense of responsibility. In a monarchy, a king with a prestigious position follows the great deeds of his forefathers. Thus, Soma, the king of moon, here reminds the Prachitas about the glories of their father, grandfather, and great grandfathers.
Yeah. Tokanam pitarau bhandu drishapakshmastriyapatihi. Pati prajanam bhikshunam krihyajnanam buddhas suhrit. Prajanam patihi, the king of all the cities, the king protects all the citizens. Tokanam pitarau bandhu, just as the parents protect the children. Drishah pakshma, the eyelids protect the eye. Grihi bhikshunam, the householders protect those who beg food. Agyanam buddhas suhrit. And the intelligent person protects the ignorant. A similar analogy comes once more in 6th canto, where I will tell you which amongst these. Eyelids protect the eye.
In third canto it comes, now Prabhuji, one place where Devote is saying to Kapila that you are the, no, she said yes, chakshur.
Oh no, she does not say eyelid, she says you are the
eye.
You are the eye.
Eye.
Okay, anyway, okay, I also got confused. No, it does not come in sixth canto. I'm sorry, it's something else. Okay. So here Shila Vishnu Jagadakur says, you are the protectors of the population. The trees and other entities are also population. The population should be protected. So you must protect them like that. You cannot destroy them. And five examples are given. Tokanam means children. Striyaha patihi is husband. Prajanam patihi is king. Like that. Any purport?
Nice. By the supreme will of the personality of Godhead, there are various protectors and maintainers for helpless living entities. The trees are also considered prajas, subjects of the king, and therefore the duty of the monarch is to protect even the trees, not to speak of others. The king is the duty bound to protect the living entities in his kingdom. Thus, although the parents are directly responsible for the protection and maintenance of their children, the duty of king is to see that all parents do their duty properly. Similarly, the king is also responsible for overseeing other protectors mentioned in this verse. It may also be noted that the beggars who should be maintained by the householders are not professional beggars, but sannyasis and brahmanas, to whom the householders should supply food and clothing.
Yeah. Okay. What is the time?
11:55.
Oh, 11:55. Okay. We'll take one more verse.
Which is this one? Analogy is that?
What?
What is that? This is the third canto, first chapter, 39 shloka.
Uh-huh.
It says, translation is, are the twin brothers who are protected by their...
Oh, brothers, correct.
Just as the eye is always protected by the eyelid.
You are right. Yeah, Nakul and Sahadev. About Nakul and Sahadev, this is what Yudhishthir Maharaj is asking Arjuna, right? No, I'm sorry. Which canto you said?
Third canto, Prajit. First chapter, third canto.
Oh, correct. Oh, this is Vidura asking Uddhava. Vidura asking. Oh, similar, actually. Similar questions were asked by Yudhishthir to... of course, why would Yudhishthir ask about Nakul Sahadev to Arjuna? I'm sorry. Correct. But it's a similar series of questions. Actually, Vidura asking Uddhava. Oh, you're right. Correct. Okay. Antardeheshu bhutanam atmaste haririshvarah sarvam tad dishnyam ikshadvam evam vastoshito hyasau. So he says, the Lord haririshvarah, Atma, he is the soul. Aste antardeheshu bhutanam, as the soul of every living entity, he is situated in the bodies of all living beings. Ikshadvam sarvam dash dishnyam, tad dishnyam. Ikshadvam sarvam. Therefore, you should be seeing them, tad dishnyam, as the abode of the Supreme Lord. Evam asau vahatoshitaha. In this way, he will be satisfied with you. So you are doing this act of indiscriminately burning these trees is not going to please Krishna. Like that he is indicating. Because you are not seeing. Aham sarveshu bhuteshu bhutatma vastita sada. So this Kapiladev tells in the third canto to Devahuti. So one who does not recognize my presence in the living, in the bodies of all living entities, one who does not see their bodies as my abode and disrespects them, actually their performance of deity worship is actually farce, like that he says. So same thing here, Soma is telling Prachetas, come on, you know, the Supreme Lord is present in the bodies of all living entities. You should be seeing every living entity's body as the abode of the Supreme Lord. So if you see in that way and treat them in that way, then the Lord will be pleased with you, like that he is telling. So Srila Vishnu Jagadakur says, since all living beings are the abode of the Lord, it is improper to kill them. Do you not remember that the Lord, who is merciful to all beings, Do you not remember that the Lord, who is merciful to all beings, will be pleased with you? Which means if you deal with them respectfully, Lord will be very pleased with you. Don't you know this? Like that he is asking. Purport?
Yes. As stated in Bhagavad Gita and confirmed by all the Vedic scriptures, Ishwara Sarva Bhutana Riddeshe Arjuna Tishtati. The super soul is situated within everyone's heart. Therefore, since everyone's body is the residence of the Supreme Lord, one should not destroy the body because of unnecessary envy that will dissatisfy the super soul. Soma told the Prachitas that because they had tried to satisfy the super soul, now they should not displease him.
Correct. Okay, I think we will continue this discussion tomorrow. Take it further. Okay, so thank you very much for your patient listening and participation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Manchakalpataru Gyachakupasandu Devacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.